Welcome, everyone, to In the Loop.
Hi, everyone. It's Alex Brown here, VP of Operations at the Smithy Group, and I'm excited to be with you for another episode of In the Loop. Today with me, I have MA, our brand strategist here at the Smithy Group, and also Matt, our media strategist. And we're going to be talking about everything to do with in-store events and planning them and marketing them. We have a lot of clients who do in-store events, so we're well-versed in knowing how to best promote them and draw people in the door when it comes to these things. We're also, you know, starting to re-engage in-store events after basically a two-year hiatus of a lot of in-store things. So whether you're just planning a big anniversary weekend or it's a themed night or a trunk show, we're going to be delving into some tips and tricks to make the event as successful as possible for you. And I'd like to give a special shout out to our sponsors, ClientBook, for sponsoring this episode. Definitely go check them out. They're a great CRM tool, and I know that they're helping a lot of jewelry stores around the country really connect with their clients right now. So head over to their website and check them out.
This episode is brought to you by Punchmark, the jewelry industry's favorite website platform. Whether you're looking for better e-commerce performance, business growth, or campaigns that drive traffic and sales, Punchmark's website and marketing services were made just for you. It's never too late to transform your business with a user-friendly, point-of-sale integrated website platform designed for growth and results. Sign up for your free trial demo at punchmark.com.
This episode is brought to you by The Smithy Group, a digital growth agency that helps leaders and businesses dream bigger and achieve multi-generational integrity. Through insights and intelligence, digital marketing, and advertising solutions, we help businesses expand their reach, grow their revenue, and make an impact. TSG has helped hundreds of businesses surpass their goals and believe that whatever your business, whatever your story, we will make it matter to your audience.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back, so let's just jump straight into it. So, Matt and Emma, thanks for being here today. In-store events. We're stepping back into them. We're seeing a lot of our retailers re-engage with them after, you know, putting a couple on pause. So let's talk about, firstly, some of the different events I think that we're seeing and some of the ones that have been most successful that we've seen in recent months.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to take like one step back, it's interesting coming off the heels of COVID, hopefully off the heels of COVID, which retailers are gung-ho about jumping back into the event space and which retailers never really adopted it in the first place, and just to see how their mindset has shifted. And then as MA and I are hopping on these calls with our clients, seeing which events they're more privy to. So to answer your question, a lot of the popular events we're starting to see in the new year going into spring are a lot of trunk shows, branded trunk shows. That seems to be a popular conversation, as well as wedding weekends, wedding band weekends. I know that we're working on a few of those right now. And right now, I think we're rolling out several wedding weekends.
Yeah.
We're in the process of that. You want to talk a little bit about like the strategy behind them?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because like a trunk show versus say a wedding band weekend or a wedding weekend is they're very different events, and what people can expect from them coming into the store is, and what the goals are for the client is really dependent on how we build out that campaign and promote them. So why don't we start at trunk shows, because they're pretty specific as well. You're working with, you're partnering with the brands. So let's talk about both the, you know, targeted audiences and the paid side of it, which is you, Matt, but also the creative aspect of it, MA, of like when it's branded trunk show that we're promoting, but we've also got the brand of the retailer, how do we make sure that that messaging is cohesive and help the audience connect and understand both sides of the brand to bring them into the store?
Yeah, on the brand side, so trunk shows, and in order to get anyone to be excited about coming in store for an event, you really have to highlight the facts and the reasons why this is a once in a lifetime event. It's only happening at this time, and you're only going to get this experience by coming to this event at this store. That's really the message that you're trying to get out that's going to be compelling for people. And so particularly with trunk shows, you're highlighting a designer, and you know, the average consumer doesn't always know who jewelry designers are. A lot of times that's kind of a knowledge gap that exists within the jewelry industry. And so when you're promoting a trunk show, this is your opportunity to take all of the unique aspects of that designer's brand and their story and tell it to the people in the local area who would be coming to those events. And you're positioning yourselves in doing that as kind of that middleman, the person introducing the brand and the consumer, and also just housing that brand. And you're also positioning yourself as a store that has trust and has good taste that they're choosing these brands to carry. And you're facilitating the entire thing. And you want to position yourself as a place that puts on good events that are cohesive and entertaining.
Mm-hmm. And then what about, so we've got the messaging, and I think that's a great point of making sure that you've built that trust there, right, with your community, that you're trusted to say this brand or this designer is really good. We love it. You will too. Mm-hmm. And so once that messaging is, you've got that messaging firmed up, what is then the paid strategy and who are we targeting when it comes to these events?
The difference between a trunk show and a wedding weekend, I would say the trunk show is more brand focused, whereas a wedding weekend would be more demographic focused. Mm-hmm. So for example, with a trunk show, if it's, let's say, a Kendra Scott trunk show, we can target those users that have a specific interest in Kendra Scott. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Google, we can target those Kendra Scott keywords. And then in particular, we can target parallel brands as well, brands that Kendra Scott users might also be interested in. And then whereas with a wedding band weekend, that's more demographic focused. That's where we kind of zoom out a little bit and look at those men in a relationship, the female self-purchaser, those not yet quite engaged or those getting engaged, but we're not really getting too granular with the wedding band weekend. So typically when we look at like the metrics, when we're reevaluating a trunk show and a wedding band weekend, typically we'll see a lower impression rate, lower reach when we're targeting Kendra Scott focused interest groups because it's much more niche.
Right.
But that shouldn't discourage you. You shouldn't look at that as an unsuccessful campaign because what we'll see is a higher interaction rate.
Right.
Because they're more contextualized ads to what MA's point was, really speaking to that specific brand allegiance.
We've actually talked about this before as an agency, though. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have a higher cost per click because it actually, it you know, if we're targeting the right people and drawing them through, to convert and check out the call to action, you know, if we've got a smaller demographic that we're targeting, then the cost per click might be a little higher. But if you get a sale from that because we're targeting the right people, then that's definitely a benefit. So paid ads is one thing. Raising awareness is one thing. How do you convert? Like, obviously the metric is people coming to the store and seeing the event, right? And then sales on the day. But how do we track that? And how do we build a funnel for them to go through to collect data, to retarget them? And what's the best way to get them to commit to coming before they actually walk through the door?
What's the best way to get them to commit to coming before they walk through the door? Mm. Well, something that we've, as an agency, been leaning more towards are those custom landing pages rather than doing the Facebook event response campaigns.
Yeah, and what's
that? We've done a lot of Facebook event response campaigns in the past, but something you and I have had a conversation about, and we use that Apple analogy.
Yeah,
right? It's one thing to, there's an Apple product being sold at the Apple store, and there's an Apple product being sold at an Apple reseller.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same exact product. But I know for one, I want to get it from the Apple store.
It just feels better, right?
Well,
I was trying to
replace my AirPods case.
Yeah.
There was one case for $30 from a reseller, and I bought it for $80 from the Apple store because I knew it was going to be quality. So that's the way I look at Facebook event response campaigns and then a customized landing page.
Yeah.
If you're scheduling an appointment for a wedding band weekend or a wedding band event and you're going to be spending thousands of dollars on this piece of jewelry, if I were to schedule that appointment through Facebook, I might subconsciously feel as though I'm almost purchasing that off of Facebook rather than actually purchasing it from the retailer. It's a much more personalized experience if you actually book an appointment on the retailer's website rather through your Facebook profile on a Facebook event page. Not to say that they don't work.
Right.
I think it's just on a campaign by campaign basis.
And I mean, you're right. We have talked about this, and I think there's a difference when it comes to something that feels a little bit more exclusive, like a wedding band weekend, where you're committing to go get something. And on our end, the data that we can collect from, you know, someone putting in their information on a landing page and the way we can retarget them through the pixels and all that good stuff is way more beneficial. Like, where you really want to draw people back to your own content, right? And your own base, as opposed to having it in a different platform. And so
to your point about getting people to commit before the actual event, the Facebook event response doesn't necessarily allow you to do that because you don't have their information.
Right.
Whereas if somebody books their landing page, you have their email, you have their
phone number. Follow up.
So you can follow up and actually get that pre-sale.
Yeah.
Whereas on Facebook, you just have that binary interested, yes or no.
Yeah.
And then you don't have their email or phone number.
Yeah. The Facebook event page, though, could work very well for an event like a trunk show where you're not asking for a booking or an appointment commitment, but you're just asking for like a general interest. And that's really like you do get people pressing that interested button, and then you can actually gauge if people are interested in the event. And then the metric is them showing up. So there is a place for Facebook events, absolutely.
Really effective for events like a Bubbles and Bling.
Right.
We don't need to do a landing page for Bubbles and Bling.
Right.
Or just a watch showcase.
Right.
But for something, it's a super personal, super intimate event, like a wedding weekend.
How can, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this because knowing you, I know that you really appreciate and understand the value of experience. So how can we make these events more experiential and more like, well, I guess less generic?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is put yourself in their heads. You go to an event, what's going to compel you to see an event online and put it in your group chat with your friends or with your significant other? And for a lot of demographics, it's something that's Instagrammable.
Mm-hmm.
So is there live music? Is this a unique experience to see something amazing? Is this, you know, the world's only rainbow colored dolphin? Like, what is it that is that's Instagrammable that you would share, that, you know, you would want to keep a souvenir of, like that kind of thing? Put yourself in their heads of what would make this experience one of a kind. And sometimes Instagrammable can be as simple as having a really beautiful display that people can take a picture of in front of, and you're able to use that to promote the event and drive awareness around it for the next year, or for the, even the next trunk show, just kind of showcasing through pictures, through getting user generated content, why this event is interesting. But I think definitely not positioning it as just a shopping experience or a sale. That's not as compelling at all as something extra that positions it more. It's not you going shopping, it's a night out with your friends. So think about how you can make it appear like that to people.
That user generated content piece, that I feel is really key to some of the success that we've seen in other places, because it creates that buzz, right? How can stores and brands encourage, other than just the experience and like Instagrammable things, how can people encourage their customers to be taking that content and sharing it, posting it in the right way, tagging them? Like, what's the kind of encouragement there that they can give?
Well, there's all kinds of incentives that you guys can give. There's, first of all, there's just a verbal incentive. Like, I know I was at a little show the other night with small musicians, and he was like, hey, if you guys do happen to take a video or take pictures of me, you can do so, but please just tag me. And that was compelling enough for me. It's just, it's a real person, it's a real artist who said that to me verbally, and I was very compelled to, you know, tag them in those posts. But then there's also actual incentives, like, tag us in your post tonight, and one of the people who tags us will be entered to win XYZ piece from the trunk show, that kind of a thing.
I think that's a really good shout. And then what do they do? What's the next step? They've been tagged in something. Then what?
Reshare it all day long onto your stories, onto your feed. Keep that content to use for the ad campaign or organic campaign in the next year, and in your emails to give people a visualization of what it actually looks like. A lot of times promoting these events, people in your emails and your posts, it'll just be, you know, a picture of the products, which is beautiful and does work. But it is compelling if you give people something that shows them what the event's like, that doesn't just leave it up to their imaginations. And video content is also a really great way to capture that.
Did we mention giveaways?
You mentioned like a giveaway for user-generated content, but not specifically in-store giveaways. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I was just going to say, like, the user-generated giveaways, hashtag us, receive $50 off, receive a coupon. But also, like, even if you're doing, you land on the landing page, it could just be an enter to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's just a great data collection.
Data. We love that data. I do think that any way throughout any interaction that you have with people in store, if you can get any of their data to then go into your email database or into your an ad audience set or whatever that is so valuable. So you think of a giveaway and like a piece like diamond studs or whatever pieces, you know, you're showing at the trunk show. That piece is so valuable to be able to get that data. So yeah, I'd highly recommend a giveaway like you guys are saying. We are just going to take a quick break right here. I'm really excited to talk a little bit more about some of the other events we've seen and even ways that we can connect, you know, the retailers with different people in the community as well. I think that's going to be a great talking point. But right now we're just going to hear a little bit more from our sponsor, ClientBook.
This episode is brought to you in part by ClientBook. Acquiring new customers is the lifeblood of your jewelry business. However, far too often, customers drop in, make a purchase, and then disappear, often for good. On the other hand, clients are different than customers. A client wants personalized offers and services, and they trust you and your salespeople for product advice. So, how do you turn a customer into a client and deliver personalized experiences when you have thousands of them? That's where ClientBook comes in. It's the mobile clienteling app built for jewelers. Here's how it works. With ClientBook, you'll never miss a follow-up or forget an important event in the lives of your clients. Birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, and more. You can send automated mass or individual messages, create customizable message templates, easily solicit reviews, and capture leads through the ClientBook web chat. ClientBook lets you send professional product images via text to a client in seconds and put together personalized wish lists and collections based on products your clients like. Discover why the world's leading jewelers use ClientBook to build long-term relationships with their clients and expand the in-store experience beyond the four walls of your store. To learn more and schedule a personalized demo for your store, visit clientbook.com/demo. Again, that's clientbook.com/demo. Thanks, and back to the show.
We're back. Thanks for sticking around. And we're excited to jump into this conversation a little further. Matt, I know we were just talking a little bit more about some of the different events. And what I'm really interested to talk about is how these events can actually connect with different businesses and different parts of the community that these retailers are in. And we've seen various ways that they can do that. But I know there's a client event happening right now that is particularly interesting. So why don't you jump in and talk about that?
Yeah, so we have a client that is soon going to be carrying the new paperclip jewelry, which is super popular right now, whether it's the bracelets, the necklaces, the rose gold or the silver. They're going to be carrying all of it, and they want to do like a soft launch with it. And what they're actually doing is collaborating with a local influencer group. And this isn't necessarily a one-time event, but it's going to be taking place over the course of a couple of weeks. And what these influencers are going to be doing is coming in and essentially getting zapped, very similar to what Catbird does. But essentially, it's that generated content, the user-generated content that the influencers are going to be creating, showing their experience getting zapped with their friends, and then putting that out into the ether via influencer posts that the client's going to be paying for. And the idea is to generate buzz in the area through these posts, in which, let's say, I see somebody getting zapped. They're getting zapped with their friends. They're even talking about doing like bridesmaids parties, right? They're going to stage a bridesmaids party with the hummingbird. So you're speaking to that engaged audience, right? But essentially, they're trying to create a space where you can come with your friends, come in store, get zapped, have some champagne, all while moving these paperclip chains.
Yeah, I think that's a really great example of, you know, it doesn't even have to be an experience, but any new kind of product launch, like how can you create buzz around a product that you've just got into the store? So I think influencers are a great idea. And when you, when we talk about influencers, I think everyone's mind goes to, you know, the Kardashian Jenners of the world and, you know, the big names. And, you know, we often get excited around like the Met Gala time because we know that, you know, people are going to be wearing key pieces of the jewelry and who can be an influencer in that space and celebrities. But actually, influencer can be much smaller than that and actually be more effective because there's a lot of trust built around that. So tell us about the influencer group that our client's working with and how that process works.
Well, to your point, I think in the region in which they're going to be posting, they have more pull and they have more leverage because they're local influencers, right? Mm-hmm. They're not influencers on this massive scale. So if I follow them and I know that they know what's hot and what's new in my area and they're going to this local retailer, that holds a lot more weight than, let's say, somebody who's never been to, let's say, Des Moines, Iowa.
Right.
So the idea is that over the course of a couple of weeks, this Hummingbird program, is what it's called, they have a whole network of influencers in which they reach out to each influencer and say, is this something you'd be interested in? It's biblical jewelry. That influencer, if they're in the jewelry space, they'd obviously jump on board because they're getting free product. And by getting that free product, the retailer gets that promotion. So over the course of, I believe it's 3 weeks, 10 influencers are going to be coming in over the course of 3 weeks on a scheduled time. And then that retailer knows that they're going to be getting, let's say, 3 Instagram stories and 2 organic posts from each of these influencers. And if you multiply that by 10 a week, 10 influencers a week times 3, that's a lot of social media coverage, a lot of organic coverage.
And we've worked with influencers in different ways as well, whether it's be like we've DM'd influencers in local communities and said, hey, like we'd love to do a partnership with you. And sometimes there's, you know, monetary exchange. Sometimes it's a product exchange, you know, that can look different for each influencer, but there are different ways to be able to work with these kind of people in your community and just make sure that they align with your brand. And then, you know, there's a good connection there as well. What about different, you know, MA, we were just talking about like the experience aspect of events as well. So what about different experiences that you can build with other businesses within your local community?
Yeah, so there's a lot of collaboration with, for example, if there is a flower business nearby, you can have those flowers at your event, those, or have them make a big floral display that, going back to my previous point, is used as a photo opportunity at your store. Or you could work with a local venue to host like a concert even. You could work with a local bakery to have them cater food at your event. So that's a lot of way to just kind of capture their audiences and combine them with your audiences and have the benefit be mutual.
Yeah, I think there's the, I love the flower example and working with a local florist because, I mean, I've been to an event which is in like a fashion store. I haven't known about this retailer. I haven't, you know, but my friends invited me to like, let's make floral bouquets. I'm like, cool, I love that stuff. So let's go. And then I ended up buying way too much at the store, you know, because I was enjoying the time and I was looking around and I was having fun with my friends. So I think like there's an element of like it brings the element of why I should attend that event, right? So it's beyond the selling, as you were saying early on, of I actually just go for the experience or go to hang out with my friends or actually go to build community. There's events that we're starting to think about and talk through for Mother's Day as well. And you know, I think it's interesting with the jewelry stores in particular and this idea that they're, you know, luxury or they might be a little bit unattainable or inaccessible for certain people or demographics. And I mean, I can speak to this as a mom. I'm not going to be waltzing in with my, you know, 2 2-year-olds to a jewelry store anytime soon because it doesn't necessarily feel a space that I can let my kids run around in. So, and when it comes to creating spaces for people that might not necessarily feel like they can walk through the doors, like I think an event is a great opportunity to invite them in. So if you're looking towards Mother's Day and something to do for Mother's Day, create a space for mothers and their kids. Create a space in a welcoming environment to have like a Mums and Mimosas event, because that there's another in there of building community with other people who are in a similar situation as you, right? And a similar life stage as you. So invite the mums, invite their kids and create a space for them. And while they're there, maybe they can look around and create a wish list and then you send it to the dads and the, you know, the kids. So I think that there's just a lot of opportunity to think outside the box from typical events, and how you promote it is really important in terms of data collection, like we were saying, but also just driving some new people into your store. There is the other side of it, though, too, of we're in a very digital world now, like especially after COVID, everyone has gone more and more digital. Everyone's gotten used to digital. We do Zoom events now. You know, why do I want to get off my couch and actually go to a trunk show event? Like, what is the pull for me? And I can just shop all the things that I want literally online. Like, why do I want to go into a shop? So I guess I'm also interested. We've talked about all these great events, but are they still relevant for today's world?
Yeah, I think something really to think about with this is people love buying off of emotion and off of memory and story. So, you know, if I'm traveling abroad to another country with my friends and I see something in the window, I'm a lot more compelled to buy that thing than something very similar that they might have at Target, because I'm going to associate this object with a specific memory and a specific day and even with a specific person. And jewelry is something that falls really, really well into the category where, you know, maybe you wear it every day or you wear it often. You want to be able to point back to it and explain a specific story or a specific memory. And so events where you can kind of position these pieces as, you know, you came with your friends, you maybe listened to some live music or just had a great night out, that's the night that you found this piece. So there is a compelling aspect to that. And you just have to make sure you tell that story and paint that picture in your promotion and description of it so that people put it together and it doesn't just feel like a day that they're going shopping.
I'd also like to speak to the other side of that and staying relevant. And you said not everybody's going to be privy to going to in-store events. And you also have to cater to that audience as well. Otherwise, you're going to lose them. We do have clients that are running really successful live streams.
Yes.
Which, I mean, we're talking about events, which, I mean, that's not exclusive to in-store as well. So these live streams, we have a client that's seen a lot of ROI just from these live stream auctions where you can sit comfortably from the safety of your home and purchase some of your favorite pieces of jewelry. And I'm fairly certain our client has a really good time doing these live streams as well. And then even from like a Facebook event response, they now have the option to set up online events the same exact way you would setting up an in-person event. But rather than typing an address, you type in a Zoom link.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, the idea of going digital for some of like the roundtable events as well, of like the education pieces. So, I mean, there is definitely something to be said to come in and hold a gemstone and talk about the gemstone with people. But, you know, there is definitely a big opportunity to press more and more into the digital space of live streaming, as you say, and, you know, digital events as well, as people are. There is definitely a Zoom fatigue happening, but at the same time, people are used to that now and like it. So lean into that for sure. I think, too, there is the sense that people really do want to be leaving their homes now. In a safe way, but they want to be getting out and seeing people. So there's a real opportunity to build community where you are and invite people back into your space in a really welcoming way without it feeling too salesy. We really hope that you've gotten something out of our conversation today, and that as you're preparing for your next event, that you can take away some of these plans and tips and, you know, promotional aspects of the event from what we've chatted about today. If you have any questions at all, we'd absolutely love to hear from you. So you can reach out to any of us on the team here at the Smithy Group via our DM, or you can email us at hello@thesmithygroup.com. You can also check out our friends over at Punchmark on their website. And I know we work with them really closely to build out a lot of these landing pages that you were talking about earlier, Matt. So they can definitely help you out on building some of this stuff out if you're looking to capture some of the data that we've been talking about. But we'll be back with an episode next week, and we hope you tune in and have a lot out of this one. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, remember to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and try subscribing on Spotify. It really helps us grow. New episodes in your subscription box every Tuesday. Thanks again. Talk to you next week.